This morning I want to think with you for a few minutes about that last verse of the gospel that I just read where Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy." And of course, at a very basic level, what Jesus is talking about here is exactly what they are about to experience. His crucifixion, where they will experience such pain. Those who put Jesus to death will experience such joy. But then after the resurrection, the apostles will have their pain turn into joy. And it's wonderful to reflect on this passage in that light, but I want to enlarge how we look at this verse and see it as a way to understand our present perspective and how we live in the world. And in doing this, I want to think about two things. I first of all want to talk about the foolishness of the worldly, and then secondly, the wisdom of the saints. So what does this passage, this verse, tell us about the foolishness of the worldly? And it's the following. Jesus says that the world will rejoice. And there is something about those who have a very worldly perspective whereby they think that the only place where happiness or joy can be found is in this world. And so they will give their lives to the frivolous pursuits of anything and everything in order to satisfy a spiritual emptiness that they cannot understand, they cannot define, because they don't know what it is. But there is that vacuum, there is that place where, apart from God, we will continue to pursue and pursue and pursue happiness, but we will ultimately come up empty. I am not sure when Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm thinking it might have been like towards the end of his life, because sadly Solomon was a man for whom everything kind of went pear-shaped. That having started his kingship with a desire to grow in wisdom, as he got older and more powerful, he became more and more worldly. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is this incredibly insightful passage that I want to read to you now. "I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my mind how to cheer my body with wine, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil that I had spent in doing it, and behold, all was vanity, a striving after wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun." Now, what's interesting is he said, "I searched with my mind how to cheer my body with wine, my mind still guiding me with wisdom." That there is still at this point a sense in which Solomon was wanting to have the wisdom of God. But what we see happening in his life is more and more the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of pleasure took over. And he concludes in the end, well, it's vanity. There is nothing to be gained under the sun. Remember that Solomon spared no expense to find happiness in the pursuit of this world's values, but it didn't end in anything that was meaningful. If such worldly pursuit is empty, where can true meaning be found? I would suggest it is in discovering the wisdom of the saints. In our reading from Acts, we heard about the beginning of Paul's relationship with the church at Corinth. And because of that relationship with the Corinthians, we have two remarkable letters. And 2 Corinthians is, I think, the most amazing letter of St. Paul in that it helps us to understand what it means to live with a right and godly perspective, to have, as I said, the wisdom of the saints. So listen to these amazing words from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where St. Paul gives us this saintly wisdom. "We do not lose heart. Though our outer man is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Page after page after page after page of the New Testament, we get this same theme, that we cannot understand the present world primarily as a place where we are to pursue happiness. You're not going to find it. That in this present world, we are going to experience suffering. We are going to experience affliction. But it is a suffering and an affliction that has a certain perspective that is the perspective of the resurrection and future glory. And so I love how in 2 Corinthians, St. Paul says that this eternal weight of glory that awaits us will put our present suffering into such a perspective that we will look at them and say they were slight and momentary afflictions. This does not mean that they are inconsequential, and it does not mean that they do not matter. Indeed, it is in the same letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians that he speaks of his own suffering. Listen to this list. 3 times I'd been beaten with rods, once I was stoned. 3 times I had been shipwrecked, a night and a day I had been adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren. And then he goes on to say, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all these other things, there's the daily pressure put upon me for my anxiety for the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Quite a list, isn't it? But in the same letter, he says, these slight momentary afflictions are achieving for me an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all measure. And then remember how 2 Corinthians ends. That thorn in the flesh. 3 times I called to the Lord. Lord, remove it from me. Take it from me. And the Lord said, no, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect through your weakness. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, apart from understanding everything Jesus has been teaching us in these weeks from the upper room in the Last Supper discourses, we will seek to pursue worldly happiness and we will come up empty. However, as we understand the wisdom of the saints, we will increasingly be a people who, as we now come to the end of the Easter season, will remember that the passion and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the perspective through which we are to interpret our own lives, especially when we encounter real trials. And so let me conclude by encouraging you to allow John 16:20 to be a verse that helps to orientate your lives, a verse that helps you to remember that present sufferings will, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, lead to future glory. And let me just read it one more time. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy.